I know that today there's a cycle. Well, last week I talked to you about Nehemiah and the lessons that he had. Nehemiah went, remember, went in and met the king, and he was sad, and the king gave him authority to go to the country, pick up some wood, going into Jerusalem. He's going to rebuild the wall, and he went on a scouting trip, see what it was going to take. And I told you, I've got several lessons I want to do on Nehemiah. But I told you last week, I want to take a break today, and we're going to talk about something different today that would work for us. One of these is symbols. In our society today, we know what symbols are. And more and more and more, particularly in the international aspect of our life, we come to realize that you go to foreign countries, there's a standard symbol for different things. And one of these today is, if you're looking for a doctor, you know what you're going to get. You know when you see that symbol, what it is, and you're going to find that. There's different symbols we go today. If you're looking for an airport, you know what that is. But symbols mean a lot to us today in our society, particularly if you want to go like a doctor. Know what that signifies. But as you go through life, you find that there's different symbols and everything that is acceptable to us today and things. If you don't have the decal, no parking, that's fine. You know, all kinds of symbols that come through our life today. I'm going to talk about a symbol as far as Christianity goes today. You've got math, that's something we all are familiar with today, and things of that nature. Most of us know what the Liberty Bell signifies. I thought this is so awesome that this past week, I had decided already last week, as I told you, I want to do this lesson today. But Tuesday, Jenny and I were in the car, going up on Division Street, pulled up behind the truck, and had a bumper sticker. Freedom isn't free. And I thought, how appropriate that I see this. And then last night, I was in Coeur d'Alene down by the water, and by the Coeur d'Alene, the big hotel, there on the corner, Main Street there is a big Liberty Bell. It just like, you know, sirens went off and whistles blew in my mind anyway. But when we see the Liberty Bell, we know it signifies. And we know that July the 4th, this weekend per se, July the 4th is signified as Independence Day for this country. And there's another symbol we use today, and that's called the Statue of Liberty. I want to briefly talk to you about this, because this is a very large symbol today of freedom. Statue of Liberty was given to America by France. 1875, about in that area, they decided to do this, and the Statue of Liberty was built in France completely. Then disassembled, put in 271 different crates, put on a freighter, shipped to New York, and reassembled. The man who designed the structure of it was named Eiffel, the guy who invented and constructed the Eiffel Tower in Paris. The pedestal that Statue of Liberty sits on is almost the same size as this auditorium. It's 43 square feet. It goes down to the ground about 20 feet. Statue of Liberty weighs about 270,000 tons. Very big symbol of our freedom today. Last count, over 20 million people have passed through its ports to claim citizenship for this country. Statue of Liberty symbolizes freedom. And in her right hand she holds, we call the torch, in her left hand, a tablet, which some of the words on that inscription said, free me, you're tired, you're poor, you're hungry, longing to be free. Give them to me, you're wretched, tossed. The symbol of freedom, that's America. But there's another symbol of freedom that Christians know today, and that symbol is the cross itself. We see the cross, and we know that that symbolizes religion in our society today. Different churches in the community, different churches in the state, in the world, uses the cross as a symbol, symbolic of Christianity. And because of that, I don't know what you think about when you see the cross, or the symbol of the cross. What do you think about Jesus? Think about Jesus hanging on the cross, and him died. He died for you and for me so that we may be free. Free from what? Free from sin. Not free from problems. Not free from troubles that will come in our life, but free from sin. Free is Galatians, and we use the scripture in a moment, Galatians 5, talks about freedom from sin. Christ didn't die for sin, but he died to set us free from sin. And with that, even the symbols of Christianity, even Christianity itself has its own symbols. As we read about the persecution of Christians, we understand and know that there was times that Christians were afraid to be really identified. Say, yes, I are one. They didn't want to do that because they knew they'd be persecuted. So sometimes when they show up, I think you're a Christian, or you're a Christian, that they don't say this. It might be an undercover agent. So they were scratched into the ground, a symbol that they used to symbolize, I'm a Christian. You see this on back of vehicles today, all the don't you on bumper stickers, that little fish symbolizing Christianity. I read the illustration this past week also, where this cop pulled over this lady who was in the car, she was passing everybody on the wrong side, speeding, just making every kind of infraction in the traffic that she could. It seemed like she was doing it on purpose. He pulled her out of the car, shoved her up against the car, handcuffed her, didn't say a word, he said, you have the right to remain silent, threw her in the back of his car. And she finally said, why in the world are you looking me? What have I done? He said, you stole the car. She said, no, you checked the paper, it's my car. Why do you think I stole the car? He said, well, I saw it had all these things. I love Jesus, and the symbol of the fish was on there. Go to church on Sunday, and the way you were driving, I knew it was your car. So there's a symbol of freedom in religion. And that symbol in this case is the cross of this. I know in Galatians 5:1 that I talked to, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Christ set us free for freedom, not from sin itself, but from the yoke of sin. Whereas if we have freedom in Christ, if we utilize and do what Christ has told us to do in the Bible, then just like I can read here, it was for freedom that Christ set us free, therefore keep it. Stay infirm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Don't let sin control you. We are all going to sin. No doubt about that. But there are problems in our life, and as we have these problems, we find that freedom isn't free. Today, thousands of Americans are dying on foreign soil, fighting for freedom. A couple of weeks ago, I saw on CNN where a senator, I believe from Pennsylvania, had gone into the military hospital in Maryland and was visiting all the injured from Iraq and Afghanistan. And as he came to one young soldier who was lying there, had lost both his legs in a roadside bomb, his mom was by his bedside. And the senator was asking, how are you doing? You know, we appreciate what you did. And the mom responded with, my son went in the Marines to fight for America, not for some other country. And when I stop thinking about this, I think, what are we fighting for? It's for freedom. It's for freedom ourselves. And we heard the illustration, you know, if I stand up and say nothing, how long will it be before they come for me? And yet the freedom that we have, people have died for. I dare say, if I ask for a show of hands, there would not be one person in here that doesn't know of a family, that doesn't have a family, or yourself or myself are not involved, been involved in the military in one fashion or another. How many people have been in the military? Several that I know in the audience have been in the military. How many have loved ones in the military? That covers the rest of them. How many of them have family in the military? It covers everyone. And military go to fight for freedom. And that's good prayer, doesn't it? It's also another thing. When we fight for freedom of religion, when we have freedom of religion, it's because other people in years past have stood up and fought for us. And that's why we celebrate the 4th of July, or Independence Day, as it's called. And I thought it was so ironic that we all can change our minds at one time or another. One government official who was opposed to building the pedestal for the Statue of Liberty ended up being the president, Grover Cleveland, who went to dedicate the Statue of Liberty when it was finally installed. We have a right, and sometimes we have a necessity to examine what's there, not just in the laws of our land, but also in the Bible, and say, what does God have to say about freedom? What does he say have to say about liberty? One of the things is, Peter, he says, do not use your freedom as a cover. covered up your sin. You have freedom of religion. We all have that. But don't use it as a cover up. There's a religious sect. In the olden days, in the time of Peter and Paul, called the Gnostics. You know them, aren't you? They Gnostics. And their religious belief was, sin is good because you get more forgiveness. So the more you sin, the more forgiveness you get. So therefore, let's go sin more. And they would look for ways to sin, look for ways that they could really sin so they get more forgiveness. So that's not the thing that Peter is talking about. Don't use your freedom as a cover-up. Just because you've got forgiveness of sin, don't use it, don't abuse it. Use your freedom of religion. Use your freedom as a Christian to be free. To be free from what? To be free from sin, from the yoke of slavery, from the yoke of sin. And as we go through life, we need to remember Jesus died for every person in this room. He died for people in foreign countries. He died for people that we have fought in previous wars. I find it so interesting this past week to see our president being good friends with the Prime Minister of Japan. And yet when I first went in the military, when John and I went in, 1900, a long time ago, wasn't it, John? Long time ago. Japan was our enemy. And when I was first sent to Japan, I was sent as part of an occupational force. Where I was a young 18-year-old, and anything I said went when it came to the Japanese people. And yet today, the president of our country is big buddies with the Prime Minister of Japan. Times change as far as relationships go. Things don't change. What about the Soviet Union, where they used to be, where they are today, relationships? We used to sit there, both countries, with the gun on top, just ready for the other to make a false move. And now they're friends. Presidents visit with each other. Diplomats with each other. The freedom that we have is to cause people to talk about freedom of physical freedom, and we talk about freedom of religion. And in our religious world today, there's freedom. When we think about the cross, when you think about Jesus hanging on the cross, when you think about what the cross signifies, think about the other two crosses that were there on Calvary. Two thieves hanging on that cross on either side of Jesus. At one point, both of them were criticizing Christ. At one point, if we read in Mark, both of them was dirty, rotten thieves. But yet, in the Gospel of Luke, we find that in essence, one of them had a change of heart. Change of his mind, a change of attitude. Whereas one of the thieves says, if you are the Christ, if you're the one that you say you are, that people say you are, get yourself down. And I love the way he slips it, and us too, by the way. A little selfishness involved there. But if you're really Christ, get us off this cross out of our misery. And the other thief who's hanging there says to the other thief, listen to yourself. Now, I told you a couple weeks ago that I used my translation as well, but this is 2 Peter 4, it's translation. He says, listen to the way you're talking, thief. Listen to yourself. He's done nothing wrong. We have. What we're getting, we deserve. We're thieves. But this man does nothing wrong. In essence, how dare you criticize me? And Jesus, with that person, change of heart, change of attitude, says to him, today you're being with me in paradise. And Jesus forgives sin? Yes. Did he? Yes. And there have been a lot of debate and discussions and public debate about was the thief on the cross Satan because he wasn't baptized. And I have a plain word for that. It's all garbage. It don't matter what I want to debate about this or not. If Jesus says I am, I am. And that's saved, I'm saved. And if God says it, that's all it takes. It doesn't matter. Sometimes you see this in Scripture, you know, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You take out the middle, God said it, that settles it. Whether I believe it or not, it doesn't matter. God said it, and that's the way it is. Jesus said, today you be in paradise, that's it, that's all it takes. But when we get into the freedom that we have to worship God, it becomes a choice. Those two thieves hanging on the cross, each made a choice. As you make in your own life today and every day, you make a choice. You make a choice. If you find a purse laying back here, do you take it to the car and go home with it and see what you got? Or do you look to the one to take it to? That's a simplified version. We make a choice every day or every night whether or not we're going to live a Christian life. We make a choice every day of our life whether or not we're going to sin. We make a choice whether or not we're going to spend eternity in heaven. Most people have got a plan for this afternoon, for this coming week, or next month, vacation down the road. Maybe in 2 years from now, I'm going to do so and so. We don't plan to die. We don't mark it on our calendar that today I want to die. I'm through with all my life. I got nothing to plan. We don't plan to die, but it happens. What about the teenager? Young girl this past week, 17, 18 years old. Great plans. I read in the paperwork. She had said what she was wanting to do in music and her career and maybe become a teacher. And they find her stuff under the floor of a house up in the woods. Her life gone. Living no more. And the same thing is going to happen to us. And the time comes when we have to make a decision, where we do make a decision. I'm going to live my life the way I should, the way God wants me to live it. I'm going to live my life the way Jesus Christ wants me to live it. Or I'm going to live in sin. And it's a choice we make. But there's one fact that is certain for the rest of our life. We all want to die. Every one of us. Perhaps the Lord will come before that happens. If not, each one of us, as a young teenage gal did this past week, we wouldn't die. And when that time comes, we don't have a chance. We don't have an opportunity to say, wait a minute, God, I need to roll over this. I think I've changed my mind. I want to do better. It's too late. It's way too late. So I want to ask us today, in your mind, are you ready for this right now? Are you ready for the funeral director to talk to your loved one, your spouse, and say, how do you want it handled? I don't care how it's handled when I'm dead. I'm out of here. What I need to care about is how it's handled when I'm dead, as far as my relationship with God. How is yours? Do you have the freedom to choose? Yes, you do, and thank God for that freedom. When Jenny and I and our family went to Turkey when I was in the military, it was unlawful, illegal, for us to meet off the base and have a worship service. We did a lot of thinking about this, we did a lot of praying about it, and on Sunday evening in our apartments, a group of us from the church, three or four families would get together and pray and study downtown in the apartment where it's against the law. We said, well, now Ralph works the Bible, so you've got to obey the law and pray. And you can fuss and fight about that all you want to. We made the decision. But I will say this honestly. We was very careful when we sang. We kept it kind of low volume because a Turkish neighbor would hear it and turn us into the law. Well, how far do you go with that? I never realized what freedom was until I didn't have it. While we were in Germany, my wife decided she wanted to go to East Germany to go shopping. Because everything was ridiculously cheap in East Germany. But I've never had such a foreboding, a sad, terrible feeling in all my life when I got into East Germany and knew, and this was the wall was still up. When I got in East Germany and knew I was at their mercy. And the only recourse I had is I had a passport that says citizens of America. Citizen of the United States. That's the only thing I could do if they would have told me, yes, I'm a citizen. And then it might work, it might not. But we folks, as a Christian, have a citizenship in heaven, and it cannot be revoked. It can be denied. It can be revoked. That citizenship with Christ is there. If we want to avail ourselves of it, we have the freedom to make that choice today, right now. And if you're not a Christian, you want to be, you can be. If you are a Christian, not live the life you should have led, you can. You have the freedom to make that choice. So if you want to change your lifestyle, you can do that. If you want the church to pray for you, we can do that. If perhaps you want to become a Christian and be baptized, or you just want to study about being baptized, we can do that too. So with the psalm that's been selected, if you turn to that song, we're going to sing that. And if you have a need or anything that we can help you with, we'll help you. Just let us know what it is. Let's stand together.